Welcome, Daniel Lofert, International Spokesperson for NGO Monitor. Thank you so much for making time. Daniel, can you give us an idea of Human Rights Watch? What kind of an organization are they? And good afternoon.
Hello. And
hello.
Yes, thank you for having me on. Well, Human Rights Watch, wow. They are perhaps the most powerful organization in the space of the human rights industry, so to speak. They have a massive budget. Of close to $75 million, I think, last year.
Yeah.
And they're active all over the world. Unfortunately, what we found is that in our corner, in the area of the Arab-Israeli conflict, they have issued report after report, which are simply lacking credibility, that are one-sided in their attacks on Israel, that are completely sheared of any context, and don't address the most basic sorts of Palestinian violations against Israel, etc. And so as a result of that, they really fail in their ability to make a difference in terms of actual human rights.
Okay, so you're saying that there's a clear bias there. When it comes to reporting Israel, they don't report the whole story.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah, we have unfortunately, time after time, in South Africa, of course, you're very familiar, I'm sure, with the discredited Goldstone investigation that
Sure.
Judge Goldstone actually ultimately distanced himself from.
Sure.
So they're very much involved in that in terms of putting information. I think they actually, it's ironic considering their current activism right now against the Saudis, but back in 2009, they actually held a fundraising dinner in Saudi Arabia, and they, their sort of sales pitch for why people should give them money was, well, we are going to, that they were able to, push through the Goldstone, report. So, I mean, that, without getting into their broader activities, one can certainly see all sorts of agendas at play.
Hold on. They needed to, Human Rights Watch needed to raise money to push through the Goldstone report.
Well, not in that way. They went to have a fundraising dinner.
Yes.
With the Saudis. And sort of the reasoning that they gave as to why people should give them money is the good work that they were doing about the Goldstone investigation and their record on Israel. The sorts of things that we point to as a negative were almost a positive for them in soliciting funds.
That's very interesting. So when one looks at one of the other reports that came out, which is titled Two Authorities, One Way, Zero Dissent, which I'm sure that you have read, but it is arbitrary arrest and torture under the Palestinian Authority and Hamas. How are we supposed to read that? I mean, do we look at this and say Human Rights Watch is actually an organization that has very little credibility anyway because of its bias towards Israel? And I'll tell you, let me just contextualize this why I say this, is that there used to be here in South Africa, there used to be a central news agency called SAPA, and we used to pay us and other radio stations and newspapers, print publications used to pay every month, and it would be a central local equivalent of Reuters or Associated Press, right? And we found that their stories were so factually incorrect about Israel that we ended up cancelling our service. Because our idea was, or our thoughts behind that was, if they don't have any credibility on what we know the facts on the ground to be, then how do we test the credibility of any other story that they're sending us? And so we cancelled our subscription, and they closed 2 years later. So it wasn't obviously just us. So when Human Rights Watch publishes this article, do we give it any value? Do we give it any weight? You know, talking about the torture under the Palestinian Authority and Hamas.
Well, in terms of their overall credibility, the specific issue with the Saudis, I think, sort of speaks for itself. You know, the fact that right now Saudis are the bad guys for them, but just a few years ago they were happy to go and beg for money there. Look, a lot of people in Israel were applauding. I think maybe they were even just quite shocked to see that Human Rights Watch put something out that was critical of the Palestinians, that wasn't about, that didn't look at the Palestinians merely in the context of victims, so to speak, of Israel. And I suppose it's good that they've put out actual research detailing some of these things. It's unfortunate that they've not done this in the past. This has been an ongoing issue. Unfortunately, Palestinian society finds itself in a repressive place for many, many years. There have been other actual human rights and workers, for example, Bassam Eid, who's a very brave Palestinian who's been speaking up for years about these sorts of abuses. But it's better late than never in that respect. That said, certainly, they can't even get through this entire report without throwing a few swipes at Israel. And one shouldn't, forget the fact that they're in the past have done all the sorts of things they've done in the past, the very recent past, the last year. And in the next year, I would imagine they will continue. They've been in the last year, calling for boycott of Israeli businesses, for sanctions on Israeli banking, in the context of the violence on the Gaza border. In the last summer, where we found that human rights organizations, Human Rights Watch included, were ignoring massive violations of Palestinian human rights by Palestinians, such as putting children right in the front of the conflict and mixing civilians with armed people and all sorts of things like that. They ignored those things and instead actually called for countries to impose targeted sanctions on Israeli officials. In the past, actually one of the authors of this report, who's currently in a legal fight with Israel's government because of their allegations of the personal or organizational support for boycott of Israel and BDS, things like that, he was also involved with calling for sanctions. He tried to punish Israel in FIFA, the International Football Federation, and tried to put, Human Rights Watch has tried to put Israel on the United Nations blacklist of companies to try and sanction those companies as well. So there's certainly a lot of problems. I'll tell you, a few years ago, in 2009, the founder of Human Rights Watch, Robert Bernstein, was very troubled. He'd originally founded the organization to deal with true human rights issues. I believe they were involved with Soviet Jewry, and then expanded to all sorts of true human rights problems around the world. In 2009, Robert Bernstein was convinced that the organization he had founded was unfortunately had lost its way, and that it had disproportionate focus on Israel, and that fixation on Israel, which we've seen, actually comes at the expense of other human rights and other vulnerable populations. So while it's certainly, I suppose, a positive if this indicates a new trend that they're now going to actually look at these sorts of attacks on human rights by actual repressive governments, I wouldn't, break open the champagne just yet.
Right. And that is where we leave it. But I think we definitely need to get you back and talk about other organizations, because I think that you would give us possibly a bird's eye view of, you know, organizations to be a little bit more skeptical of when they, what they publish. And, not that organizations can't change, but I think that it's good to know, you know, forewarned is forearmed. Daniel Lofer, thank you very, very much. We wish you a Shabbat Shalom. And Daniel joining us there, he's the international spokesperson for NGO Monitor.